Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What would you do if one day you were just chilling in your bedroom and then all of a sudden you experienced a violent earthquake? But I mean, just you experienced the earthquake. And then we take a look at a bizarre conspiracy theory which may be more truthful than you think at first glance. Is it possible that demonic entities are hiding themselves inside pornography? Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. I hope you guys are having tons of fun doing whatever you're doing. Hope you're having a great day, for sure. We got a lot of stuff to cover today, so first off, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Everyone get on your feet and give it up for Bebe Oso. Woohoo, yeah, wee, ha-ha, little baby walking in. Bebe Oso is walking into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Bebe Oso is helping get the word out about the show. They posted their Spotify Wrapped, showing how many minutes last year they listened to Dead Rabbit Radio. Posted it on their Twitch, and that's a great way to get the word out. I always say, if you can't support the show financially through the Patreon or the merch store, help spread the word. And I like to reward that. So Bebe Oso, you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. And just like Bebe, if you can't support the show financially, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know, Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Bebe Oso, let's go ahead and get this party started. I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the Jason jetpack. Is that a thing? I think we're getting some new vehicles. Everyone grab onto Bebe's ankles as they fly us up, up and away, out of Dead Rabbit Command, all the way out to anywhere USA. Probably not good to hold on to someone's ankles when they're flying a jetpack. You're all, ah. None of us have any faces anymore. But anyways, after a quick trip to the local hospital, we're standing outside this house in anywhere USA. We don't have an exact location for this story. I found this posted online. Quite bizarre. Maybe it leads to a bigger phenomenon. We'll find out. We're standing outside this house. We're looking in the window. It's a second floor window, so we're standing on each other's shoulders. Only I get to look in the window. You guys have to support my body weight as I'm looking in this window, and I see a young woman. We'll call her Rebecca. She's in her bedroom on her laptop, clicking on buttons, doing internet stuff, when all of a sudden, she realizes that her table in her room, I don't know if she's seated at a desk or on her bed on her laptop, but there's a table in her room. It catches her eye because she turns and looks, and the table is actually beginning to slide forward. That's weird. She looks over, she sees the table in her bedroom is moving forward, and right when she starts to think, huh, that shouldn't be possible, right when that thought is appearing in her head, she hears a massive cracking sound. Right when she hears this loud cracking sound, she has no idea where it's coming from. It just sounds bad. Very few cracking sounds are good. She's immediately flung forward with so much force that her head goes through the drywall. And while half of her head is now inside of the wall of her bedroom, she realizes what's going on. There's a massive earthquake happening. And she's kind of processing all this information. The loud cracking sound she heard must have been the supports of the house. She's on the second floor. This entire room is about to collapse. She very likely will not survive this. There's not many places you can hide. You know, they say when there's an earthquake, you get underneath something. They never say that only works. It really only is a good idea when you're on the first floor. You get underneath something so all the rubble falling won't hurt you. But if you're part of the rubble, if you're on the second floor, you are the rubble falling. Even if she got underneath her desk or her bed or her table that's sliding around, she's doomed. She realizes there's a massive earthquake going on. She actually gets her head out of the drywall, tries to balance herself a bit. She can't. This is an earthquake. This is like a world-ending earthquake. This is something you would imagine happens after the angels have started blowing their trumpets. She's trying to catch her balance, and she ends up falling, slamming into another wall. And she's like, this is it. I'm dead. Like, this is the end. And she begins screaming at the top of her lungs. She's freaking out. And then it stops. The shaking stops and she runs to her bedroom door and she flings it open. And standing outside of her bedroom door is her brother. Her little brother standing there. And she's like, oh my God, oh, are you okay? This huge earthquake, oh my God, where's mom, where's dad, what's going on? And the younger brother goes, what are you talking about? I was just hanging out and you just started screaming. She's like, no, the earthquake, oh my God, we got to get out of the house. What if there's an aftershock? And the younger brother's like, there's no earthquake. There was no earthquake. He showed up at her door because he just heard her screaming. Panicked screams coming from his sister's bedroom. And it takes her a bit to process what could be happening. She doesn't really know. And she said, she posted this online under what I can only assume is a throwaway account. Because there's a few posts to different subreddits under the same name. But I believe this account was set up for this person to tell this story. Otherwise, the account's name is called Rockin' Room. Oh, I mean, it's evocative, right? But what was weird is she set up this post called Rockin' Room. And, you know, that would make sense. Someone has a throwaway account. But then they posted on a few other subreddits. I was like, huh, what? Anyways. She does say, she posts this, she goes, what possibly could have happened? She's never heard of anything like it before. I've never heard of anything like it before. I can think of some things that are similar, but she posts this online and she goes, also, I want to say that I did go get checked out by a doctor. Not for the head injury of going through a wall. But she said, after this, I went to a doctor because I thought maybe there's something wrong with my brain. Maybe it was a severe case of vertigo. Could be 100 different things. I wanted to get a clean bill of health. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor checked her out and said, nah, you're good. You do not have any underlying brain problems. I don't know if she went and said, doctor, I don't know if she described all the events that happened. I thought I was in a massive earthquake, slammed my head into a couple walls. But she goes, I don't have vertigo. I don't have any brain problems. So it's not like I hallucinated it at all. What could have possibly happened here? It was a localized earthquake in her room on the second floor. Now, if it was on the first floor, you could argue maybe there was an earthquake. And so the younger brother didn't feel it. But she's like, no, it was only in my room. I was being thrown from side to side. Furniture was moving around in my room. What was this? It's interesting, there was someone who responded to this saying they had gone through the same thing. They had felt a localized earthquake only in their vicinity. And that's really, you know, what this kind of reminds me of is the Black Bedrooms phenomenon. I'll put those episodes in the show notes. What was really interesting about that is it started off as we came across an account of someone saying, I had this really weird experience. They went to bed at night, all the lights are off, but when they woke up, the room was pitch black. Like, blacker than it is when the lights are normally off. And I begin wandering around through the darkness, and where my room isn't, where I don't live in an infinite void, it seemed like I could walk on forever. I could never find the walls of my room. There's been variations of that story, where people look out their window and they see the outline of their neighborhood, But all the lights are off in the neighborhood as well. The street light that was always on that they could see, everything's off as far as they can see. Sometimes that happens where they can peer out their window and they see the world is also dark. One time a person woke up and the room was pitch black, but they looked down and they could see a swirling galaxy where their floor should be. The first time we covered it was a lot like this earthquake story, where we're like, oh, here's one story about this weird thing. But then other people started reporting it, unconnected. It wasn't an ARG, it wasn't a LARP, because I have to trawl the internet for these stories. Like this other one where the girl's like, yeah, I felt the same thing. That was in response to this. But the Black Bedrooms phenomenon, eventually I started keeping an eye out for those stories, and we gathered maybe four or five over the course of the next couple months. And I was actively having to seek them out. It's possible that this earthquake thing is a one-off or a two-off with that person, if we take both accounts, the person who responded. It's also possible that this is something I will be keeping an eye out for in the future, and I'll come across one that took place in like the late 80s, and one that took place in this country, and one that took place here, and we can start to see if it is an active phenomenon. And imagine if this happened to an 80... Imagine as I laugh. Imagine if this happened to an 80-year-old woman in her kitchen. And she's dead, right? She's not able to tank her head going through a drywall. She hits her head on the linoleum counter and bleeds out on the floor. They're not going to go, oh, maybe it was this localized earthquake. They're going to be like, no, this 80-year-old woman fell down and died. Very, very violent incident to be in. More violent than most ghost interactions, really, if you think about it. Most paranormal activity does not have you flung from one end of the room to another. It happens all the time in movies. And that can make it seem like it's common. But ghosts attacking humans is probably less likely than being attacked by a shark or being struck by lightning. Even in the world of the paranormal, ghosts very rarely damage or kill humans. Hurt or kill humans. So, interesting story. We'll see if we can find more of these. See if it's a phenomenon or it just did happen to be one or two times and then never again. Bebe Oso, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the world famous carbon copter. We are leaving behind this house. Fly us all the way out to San Fernando Valley. We're headed all the way out to San Fernando Valley. Bebe Oso, go ahead and land this carbon copter here. We're getting out. Now you look around, you realize, hey, Jason, it's not the year 2024. Everyone looks happy. There hasn't been any sort of cataclysmic terrorist attack on New York City yet. And I said, yeah, we're back in the 90s. Because really in the 90s, early 2000s, San Fernando Valley was the porn capital of the world. You would have people travel here, just like Hollywood. Nearby Hollywood, people would leave their homes in BFE, Idaho, to go to Hollywood. You'd also have people coming out to San Fernando Valley because it was the porn capital of the world. You had a ton of companies that would produce these movies back then. You need actresses to come out. Tons of actresses. And they always had a select group of men. Every dude wanted to be in a porno. You had to have certain qualifications to be in one. And if you didn't, a lot of porn is camera tricks, if you didn't know that already. Just to give you a tip here, TIE fighters aren't real. Neither is Thanos, but both of those can appear on screen fairly realistically. So don't get any of your ideas about male size, anything like that from porn. A lot of it's camera angles. But San Fernando Valley was the porn capital of the world. And this was a time that I grew up where, and I'm not going to, this is a really interesting segment because I don't want you to think I'm going to preach about the horrors of pornography in general, or this is going to be some sort of diatribe against pornography. I've done those in the past. This one, we're going to look at a very specific conspiracy theory where here we walk into this adult production center, Vivid. That was one. That I was trying to remember one of the big ones when I was a kid, Vivid. We walk into Vivid. Jenna Jameson's there, and the director's like, okay, so you're gonna have sex in this scene. I know everyone was figuring that. That's not a surprise to anyone. Action! And we see Jenna Jameson having sex with some dude. We're watching the director shoot all this stuff, and then he's like, and there you go, everybody. Good day's work. Yay, everybody. Give a round of applause to Jenna Jameson and unnamed male actor number four. Great job today. And everyone leaves. And the director then turns to the editor and goes, you got the good stuff? And the editor's like, you know it, boss. Just give me those videotapes and I'll make it into gold. And the director gives the videotapes to the editor and he takes him back to his editing bay. And he looks from shoulder to shoulder, he's kind of looking around. Realize no one else is in the editing bay with him. And he moves aside a cart full of blank VHS tapes. And there's a door hidden in there. And he opens that door up. He walks into this dark hallway, his true editing bay. And it's adorned in red and black candles with a pentagram etched onto the ground. And he still has to have two VHS players there. He's like, Sane hasn't figured this part out yet. He makes everything else spooky, but we're still using these Sony VCRs. He puts the tape in and he begins editing this porn. And there's a demon standing behind the editor. It's been invoked. And it's like, this is the movie that I'm going to crawl into. And the demon begins to meld himself with the images. These images of people having sex. The demon feels himself crawling into every single frame of this footage. Until eventually, the demon is gone. But not forgotten. This entity's energies will forever exist inside this porno flick. And that's where we're at with this conspiracy theory. It's the idea that there are demonic entities hiding in pornography. And pornography's had a very interesting road these past 30-odd years. I mean, modern pornography really started in the 70s with the invention of the VHS and the Betamax. And the reason why VHS became the premier technology over Betamax, Sony made Betamax, which was far superior in picture quality and reliability of the machines, the actual players. But why did VHS win the tape wars? Because Betamax said no pornography. We're not going to allow pornography to be put on Betamax cassettes. So everyone went out and bought a VHS. Pornography, all of it used to be that you'd have to buy a magazine so someone would see you buy the magazine. And, you know, a magazine has its limitations. It's a still image. You could go to a movie theater and watch pornography. But if you were already a little iffy on someone seeing you walk out of a liquor store with a magazine, you definitely didn't want to be seen walking out of a porn theater. VHS had the ability that you could buy or rent pornography. Ooh, gross. Could you imagine renting pornography? You're like, oh, a used video cassette that multiple strange men have touched. I don't think there was a lot of pornography rentals, but you could buy a porn video, take it home, watch it in the privacy of your own home. But now it's gotten to the point where it's free. I mean, pornography is at the level of Pandora or Spotify or Crackle and Tubi. Like, it's ad-supported. Like, there's pop-up ads on porn sites. But other than that, it's as much as you want, whenever you want. Which is really weird for an industry that was really against piracy not too long ago. They actually didn't even like the fact that people were able to make copies of it if they had two VCRs at home. Now it's just free. Some of you may be watching pornography right now while you're listening to this podcast, which will probably confuse you. I don't recommend that. Pornography went from something that you had to buy from somebody to watch to now you can just watch unlimited amounts free. Pornography is as accessible as music on the radio. It's quite bizarre. And when before you would have at least the illusion of a story and the illusion of some sort of surrounding events, now you can just watch the clip. I don't understand how porn sites make money at this point. I can't imagine the ads on Pornhub pay for even 1/10 of the amount of material being downloaded. I have no idea how they support their bandwidth. And that's been a concern. That's been a question. Why are they giving it away for free? And that's where this conspiracy theory starts. They're giving it away for free because inside those porn videos are actually images of demons. And so they want you to have it. They want you to have unlimited access to it. Because what demon's going to hide behind a paywall? They want to get into your life. Now, I'm not just, like, saying this, right? We're going to look at some guy online who said it, so somehow that makes it more believable. But I did come across this post recently, and it's not new. I've seen stuff like this before. We've covered stuff kind of like it. I've always thought this was an interesting conspiracy theory. We just had another young woman kill herself, another young woman who was an actress in pornography just the other day killed herself. This idea that porn actresses... specifically, you know, because men are just so much more replaceable in this industry. They're unwittingly psychic vampires. Because you have a young woman say, you know, I want to enter the pornography industry. And just like a young starlet may want to be an actress, you have one girl, let's call her Tabitha. She gets a job on the hit show Belmont Avenue. It's like a college drama about all these college students hooking up Belmont Avenue. And that's Tabitha. And then you have Tracy. She gets a job in pornography. She's doing porn. Right? I have 100 porn titles just popped in my head, but I'll spare you the grossness. She's doing porn. Tracy's doing porn. Tabitha's doing mainstream television stuff. People love Tabitha. They adore her. Young women want to be her. Young men want to date her. She has a fan base. It's a hit show. This porn actress, Tracy, it's the same thing. Young women are looking up to her. She's gorgeous. She's sexually liberated. She seems to be living her best life, at least as far as what the camera's showing. And young men want to have sex with her. She's a hit porn star. She's blowing up. The difference between the two is that while they both have, for the sake of this example, the same type of fan base, let's say they're both equally big in their different groups, one group, Tracy's group, not only do the men like her, they're sexually releasing themselves to her. They're masturbating, watching her. And all of this sexual energy, this psychic energy, is flying out towards her through the ether. And she's starting to get overloaded. Now, while Tabitha may have a subset of her male fan base who thinks that way towards her, she's not positioned to be only a sexual object. You see her in interviews. She's on The Tonight Show. She's doing all this other stuff. It is a subset of her fan base. For Tracy, that is the reason why her fan base exists. It's to worship her as a sexual icon. And that psychic energy is overloading her. When you sit back and you pleasure yourself to somebody, I do think you are giving up. It's not like a permanent loss. I'm not saying you're like a husk. You're just a dried up husk in the middle of the room. You're like, ah. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you give away a piece of your soul you'll never get back. But I do think you're sending psychic energy towards somebody. Same thing if you're really mad at someone and you're worked up. Psychically, they are being affected by you. They may not even know what it is. But it's happening. You're generating energy, and it's headed in that particular direction towards this 23-year-old woman. And she's not set up for that. Nobody really knows that's a thing. And so it's causing her, on top of already all the turmoil in her life that's going on because she's a porn actress. Now she's getting hit by wave after wave. Unknowingly, she's probably not even aware of it. It's subconsciously getting... beset upon by 500. Imagine right now if 500,000 men right now thought about you while they were masturbating. That has to do something on a spiritual level. That has to upset the balance. Like, if in the next 5 minutes this was happening, that I can't imagine that it would have zero effect. We did an episode on that previously. That's not what we're talking about here. This idea is that demons are actually hiding in pornography. But do you have any proof? Because, you know, I found this online. Does he have any proof? Well, this was a really interesting thing to look into, because he kind of gave you a step-by-step. He said, first off, it's really easy to see demons hiding in pornography. He goes, first step is you have to download some porn, and then you make these changes to it. But before you do anything, you have to make sure that you are protected, because you're basically inviting a demon into your house. So you have to make sure you are protected in some way spiritually, otherwise this thing could destroy you. And here's the thing, as much as I love researching stuff, I go, you know, I don't know a ton of protection rituals. Salt and sage, and very, very weak. I used to be more familiar with it, but right now, if someone asked me to perform the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram, I'd have to refresh on it. And really, that's a way to kind of cleanse space, but it's also, there's a lot of reasons why you would use it. Because I'm not super familiar with it, or at least not like I was back in college, I would not want to experiment with this, because I don't think I could cleanse my place correctly. And here's the thing, I don't know if this guy is right. Well, I did run an experiment, we'll get to that in a second. I don't know if this guy's particularly right, but when it comes down to this may or may not invite a demon into your house, probably just want to play it safe and assume that it will. And if you don't feel like you're capable of creating a purged space, a place that is safe for this type of ritual, I'd recommend not doing it. So that was the first thing, but I said I still want to try this out, because that's what we're going to do. But I'm not going to download porn. I'm not going to download porn on my computer. I don't want to download porn onto my computer, not even to run this experiment. I definitely, if I had to, but I didn't feel comfortable doing a cleansing or a purging ritual. So, but I did look at what he was saying, and I did run an experiment. He goes, what you do is you use the program VLC. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's actually what I use anyways to watch movies. I love it. It's a very open source video player. And you go in and you start fiddling with the settings. So you turn on the mirror. So it basically divides the image in half and then mirrors it. Which actually is used in rituals. Mirroring an image. You can look at old conspiracy theory Illuminati stuff. I don't hear about it much anymore. But in old school conspiracy Illuminati stuff, they do talk about hiding hidden messages that you can only see when you mirror the image. It's interesting that that's fallen out of vogue. I'm surprised like Vigilant Citizen and more websites don't do that. Because when you mirror an image, it does create a lot of very interesting patterns. Things you would not notice just looking at an image. But anyways, they go mirror the image. The person who posted this is take some pornography, mirror the image, and then adjust the filters and adjust this and that and turn the softening up and the color gradient. You'll begin to see faces of demons. And he posts a couple screenshots, but he goes, listen, the screenshots don't do it justice. You gotta watch the moving footage. Now, I don't have any pornography videos on my computer, but I did have a movie that I'm very familiar with. I've seen it. I really, really enjoyed it. I think I did a Dead Rabbit Radio recommends on it a long time ago. It's pretty hard to find, so I've kept a copy on my computer. It's a movie called You Will Know My Name, or You'll Know My Name. It's a story about a guy deciding to fight another guy over a girl. It's a really good movie by a first-time filmmaker. It's written, directed, and starring this young man. Really should have been a recipe for disaster. I love that movie. And I had it, and I threw it in a VLC, and I mirrored it. When you talk about the paranormal, you got to understand there's a lot of coincidences with stuff. But I think I don't know, man. I don't know how to take this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play you the audio track. I've uploaded this to YouTube, this clip to YouTube. And, you know, when you listen to EVPs, I totally understand. Like, if someone tells you what's in the EVP, if it goes, I'm killing your grandma. And then they go, I love your grandma. That's what he said. And then you hear it again. You're like, oh, yeah, it does kind of sound like that. You wouldn't have thought that otherwise. I'm going to play this audio clip for you, and I'm going to kind of narrate it over to be fair. As much as I talked about doing purging rituals and stuff like that, I did just post this willy-nilly to YouTube. However, I did say, watch out, this video might be cursed. Because this is not pornography. This video that I'm about to play that will be on YouTube is not pornography. It is not from a pornography video. It's from a movie that I'm very, very familiar with. There is nothing evil in the movie. It's about high school kids fighting. Let's play this clip. I'm going to narrate what I'm seeing. You'll hear the audio track, because that's part of what's important here, is what is going on in the scene. A little bit of setup as I get this stuff. The story is about a young man named Nick who is in love with this young girl. This young girl is currently with this guy named Mike Santos, or Mike Santo, where he is a violent guy, and he's dating this girl that Nick really likes, and he has finally decided to beat up Mike, to take him on. And so you're going to hear about Mike and Nick. Let me get this set up here. There we go. Okay. It's only about 2 minutes. We probably won't even watch the whole thing, but... when you mirror it, anything that's in the middle will become even more pronounced. If you took a picture of a face and you mirrored it, you're not going to see much of a difference. You might see that it's oddly proportioned. But if you have an image on just one side of it and it's mirrored to the other side, it can create all sorts of insane kaleidoscope effects. Let's go ahead and start this.
Slow the hell down.
So right now, the image is almost completely black, and we're seeing a juxtaposition between a character's face and then this young girl and him talking. Music you hear is very calm. It's very flesh-toned in this part, because we're mostly looking at these two young teenage lovers.
What?
I said your hands are smooth.
I want to take you to this restaurant.
Again, we're just kind of seeing some bizarre imagery here. Butterflies, angel wings.
You mean badasses like me?
Now, when he talks about, when that switches to him to say, you mean badasses like me, we see what could only be interpreted as a buff guardian angel. Just appears during that segment, and then it disappears. But this is a crazy part. When we're watching that scene there where, you know, he's professing his feelings for her and they're having that back and forth, the guardian angel appears only for a second. It almost looks like a broad-shouldered humanoid, which is fascinating that we even get something that coherent, because even when they're just kind of talking, you're seeing these weird things interplay on the screen. When the dialogue drops and it's just the two characters with each other, I honestly thought YouTube was going to take this down. You see what could only be described through completely randomized imagery through mirroring. And all I really did was mirror it and change the softness and the, you know, messed with the color saturation. That's it. I didn't do anything super crazy. You see what appears to be a vagina. There is no other way to describe what appears in the middle of the screen. At the moment when these two characters are silently looking at each other and professing their love, a symbol of raw sexuality, a vagina appears on the screen. The screen is completely flesh-colored, and it's right in the center of the screen, and it is there very clearly. It's there for 3 to 5 seconds. You can't miss it. And then it cuts to where we're going to be talking about Mike Santos. So because we're moving away from those warm colors, now everything's going to become dark. So obviously you're going to feel like there's a tone change. And in the movie, what's happening is Nick and his brother are driving a car at night. That's why it explains why it's dark. But this is where, this is what's so interesting about this, is that the second the scene ends with Nick, Mike Santos is his name, the second the scene ends with Nick and the girl, you see demonic faces appear. There's one with a long neck, very creepy eyes, horns that are continuing to grow across the screen that whole time. Now we have a new demon face appear, clearly see its teeth. Now we see Mike Santo is human. He's walking towards the screen with a demonic looking face because of the mirroring aspect. Now we see a skull. Now we see a clear vision, a clear image of Mike Santo beating somebody up because of the way it was shot. It's almost perfectly. Now we see the face of the protagonist. The young love interest walks on perfectly mirrored, arms reach from nowhere. And a black angel appears at the top of the screen, flanked by alien eyeballs, as one more shot of a human face appears. And then it becomes demonic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then an HBO Max ad starts playing. So, I think my takeaway from all of this, I picked that movie at random. It took me maybe a half hour to even figure out what this guy was talking about in the VLC settings. I had to go to a how-to even find the mirroring, and I did not do much. Once I learned how to do it, I clicked three or four buttons, and he actually recommended. He goes, what you should do is you should change the mirroring, the anti-flickering, and the motion blur, and the color correction. So it's not like you're inputting most demonic faces out trying to get some Snapchat filter. And you see the scene in the movie, you hear the audio of the movie, You'll Know My Name, and the imagery is either beautiful and evocative and provocative. You see a woman's vagina. Bad as honestly, when I uploaded it, I thought YouTube might take this down. That's not what is in that scene. This is not a porno. That's what it looks like. And then when you cut to more conversation about Mike Santo, it's all demonic imagery. I recommend you. This video might be cursed. I hope it's not. It might. What I'm trying to say is, like, you can actually see the horns of this demon grow. There's no mistake. This isn't like an EVP. I feel this isn't like an EVP where you can hear it and go, well, that could say that, or that could say that, or it could say nothing. You are clearly seeing stereotypical images of demons during the nighttime driving sequence and beautiful feelings of love and protection during the. Those two scenes are back to back. I'll see if I can find the whole movie. I would love for you guys just to watch the movie. I really do like You'll Know My Name. It's a low-budget independent film. First film, right? It has its flaws, but I really, really enjoy it. I think that if you took porn and you did these same things, you would see demons in it. But I'm saying that's not a conspiracy theory. The conspiracy theory is that they're everywhere. Not everywhere in some sort of good against evil, earth is Satan's domain everywhere. I'm saying, what if every piece of film, every movie, has demonic influences inside of it? What if you took the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which was dark enough, and did these same things? Now, here's the thing. It is chaos. There is a demon face here, and then there's maybe 5-6 seconds of just random stuff, and then another demon face. 5 or 6 seconds of random stuff. But what's so bizarre is that you're unmistakably stereotypical demon. It's not like you go, oh no, that kind of looks like this. The one where you actually see the horns growing, and what that is, if I remember correctly, those are the headlights of the car. That's an external shot of the car coming. But where the headlights are distorting the image enough that it looks like these horns are growing to a point. It 100% could be coincidence. I would say on the believability scale, if we, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, the United States faked the Gulf of Tonkin to get us involved in Vietnam. That's one that we 100% know is true. New York Times and those media jerks propagated the story of weapons of mass destruction so America can invade Iraq. That's a 10, right? We know that the media was working with the government to have us invade Iraq. Number one being something like, monkeys aren't real. Okay, fine, that's a 2. Who knows? I've never been close to a monkey. But number one being something that's totally made up, completely unbelievable. This I would rate below 5. I don't think that demons are actually hiding in all of our media. I think it's less likely than it is. But it is very, very weird. I honestly picked this movie because it was sitting on my hard drive and I'd seen it. I honestly expected to come back and say, well, I couldn't get anything off this teen drama movie that I happen to have. But I didn't want to watch porn and watch demons come out of porn. So, you know, this might be real. The fact that I picked literally a movie at random made by an independent filmmaker and it has this demonic imagery in it, it made me pause. It made me think. Think about it. If I had gotten a Spielberg film and there was demons in it, I'd be like, oh, you know, maybe this is the whole, like, to make it in Hollywood, you have to let demons crawl into the middle of War of the Worlds. I wanted to pick someone that, I mean, I picked this at random, and when it was an independent filmmaker, I go, this is perfect. No one could argue, no, there are demons in every big budget film. Are there demons in every film? That was really kind of the takeaway. Is this just coincidence? Is this just visual noise? Or is there something about, if this is real, it does not only exist in pornography is what I'm saying. If this phenomenon is real, if you can see it in porn, and that's the conspiracy theory, and I could see it in a random independent film, truly chosen at random, that most people have never heard of, and I see the same imagery, then it's either a complete coincidence and it's visual noise and our mind is making stuff up, or demons are in all of our visual media. I mean, that's not a nice thought to have. But it's an interesting one. And it's one that, again, I went in thinking that it was just going to be a quick, oh, that's an interesting conspiracy theory, but I couldn't replicate it with a regular movie. Maybe it's in porn, I don't know, and just kind of leave it at that. But it may be, it's one of two things. One, it's a coincidence. And if you look at enough patterns, you're going to see something. Or two, there actually are demonic entities hiding within our visual media. My skeptical brain goes, it's the first one. And I'm sure a lot of you guys are going to go, it's the first one, it's the first one. Watch the YouTube video. maybe a portal to demons. I do feel, maybe you might want to do a cleansing ritual before you watch it. Because if it really is demons, I didn't do a cleansing ritual before I watched it or created it. Right? I go, oh, demons in porn, that makes sense. I don't want to have some sort of banishing ritual. I don't want anything lingering, so I'm going to do it. And this was really my thought process, and we'll wrap it up like this, and I'm kind of repeating myself. I don't want to do a banishing ritual because I don't know how to do them. I don't want to bring something into my house that I don't know how to control. And this conspiracy may be true, so I'm not going to do it to porn. I'm going to do it to a random movie so I can then say, well, it didn't happen on this movie, but it may happen on porn, but I didn't want to test it because it's too dangerous. And instead, I found that it may be in everything. And I did, and I created a portal, and these demonic faces appeared. Because I was trying to show that it, really my intent was, it doesn't work in this movie. That's what I was thinking when I went in. But the very first time I watched the video, the very first time I said, there's something that I'm seeing multiple images and they're different depending on the tone of the scene. So I may have opened a gateway, or this could all just be a coincidence. If it's just a coincidence, check out the YouTube video and I think you'll see some, at the very least, very cool visuals. If I've opened the gateway, I apologize to all of those that I have doomed to demonic torment. I don't think it's a gateway. Like I said, on scale 1 to 10, this is probably like at a 3 or a 4, even after constructing, truly, just randomly, a similar video. I don't think that this one is real. I do think that there probably is demonic influence in pornography, the business. I'm not saying that every pornographer is demonic. I'm definitely not saying every performer is demonic. I'm not saying that at all. But I think there's demonic influences in pornography, just like I think there's demonic influences in Hollywood. Because why not, right? You're capturing the hearts and minds of people, and people are so desperate to be a part of it. Of course demons would be involved in that. But I don't think every pornographer is demonic, and I don't think every actor and actress is demonic. I don't think I don't think it's a great career choice, but I don't think it'll doom you to hell forever. I don't think that demons are hiding in porn specifically, and I don't think demons are hiding in all visual media, but I could be wrong. I could absolutely be wrong, because the video is weird to watch. So if you possibly want to, you know, maybe a coincidence, maybe an infernal doorway into the world of the damned, watch that YouTube video. Tell me what you think. Email me, hit me up in the YouTube comments. I'd be interested in hearing that. Although I will say, if most of the comments end up being in Latin, I will assume that it is a doorway to the damned, and I will have to prepare myself for the upcoming apocalypse. If I find out most of my listenership has been possessed by demons, I apologize. I apologize. I truly apologize. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm so glad you listened to it today.